Coming up in just a minute, Lee Alan Wilson, our Attorney General, I'm sorry to say, loses his mind. We'll get into that in just a minute. I cannot believe what he is doing.
Yeah.
It's funny he didn't run on this a few months ago. Isn't that weird? I'll tell you what it is, but first, the best life hack ever if you have kids.
Okay.
I discovered it by accidentally, and I must share it with the parents in the cars. It is awesome. Okay, you know my constant, never-ending and ongoing battle with Common Core math, right?
Yes.
It is the bane of my existence.
We are painfully aware of that
situation. Yes, we are. It's terrible. What you have to do. So I'm relearning math as an adult in order to teach it to my daughter, who has given up entirely on learning it. I literally have to teach it to her.
It's sort of like math math of a second language.
Yes, that's exactly. And there's no Babbel, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
There's no
app for that.
No, there's no app for that. There's only remedial videos online. And last year's teacher would send me those, but this year's teacher won't do it. So, because, you know, the kids are supposed to be more independent. But anyway, you know, I take my kids to a tutoring center that I pay for. And there's, I've told you before, an announcement on the loop when you call there and you got to wait on hold. And it says, you know, the feeling when you finally understand Common Core math, we don't either. And so there's that. Okay, so... and, you know, they say that it is literally sucking the life and the will out of the children to learn math. Well, that's my daughter. She's pretty much given up. So I accidentally discovered an amazing life hack all related to all of this. Okay. So, you know, toward the end of the year, I realized my kids were only supposed to be on the computer like an hour a day, right? But like, you know, I was taking one kid to practice. My husband was taking another kid to this practice. And I realized they are playing more than an hour. I mean, they were probably up to two or three, I'm ashamed to say. And so I decided I had to nip that in the bud. So for Christmas, they were very excited about this, as you can imagine. I got them little timers.
Okay.
Yeah, and they only go up to 60 minutes. actually, 60 minutes and 59 seconds. So they get 61 minutes. And yeah. So once that thing winds down, you're off the computer. I don't care what you're in the middle of. But they can stop them to go to the bathroom, go to practice, whatever, and then resume. So it works out great. And it makes a very loud noise. When you up the minutes and try to cheat, each time you push it makes a very loud noise.
This reminds me of boot camp. But
you got to get them off the computer. It's terribly toxic for them. So, but you know, they need a little unwind time. I get it. So it's an hour in my house. Okay. So before, you know, my kids have chores that they have to do that they don't get paid for, but then they have other earning opportunities where if they do extra stuff, they get paid. Right. And I got one kid I call Moneybags. Because he will jump at the opportunity to make cash. And he will tell you that his net worth at the age of 9 is higher than Warren Buffett's was when he was 11. He's got it all documented. He's going to be the next Warren Buffett. So I got no problems with him. The other two, I can't get them to do jack beyond their chores. It doesn't matter how much money you wave in their faces, right? Well, you know what I did the other day? I offered an extra 5 minutes.
Ah.
For setting the table.
Time is money.
And one kid started screaming it was unfair. I had an extra 5 minutes on the computer because they didn't get offered that. I said, well, if you fold the laundry, I give you 10 minutes. Man, my table is set and my laundry is folded. And so then I thought, wow, they're addicted. I mean, kids get addicted to the computer. They really are.
Yeah.
It's more powerful force than money. Even.
Well, I think a lot of people do. I mean, not just kids.
So I say to my daughter, who always brings her Common Core math sheets home, you know the ones where they're not teaching Common Core, not at all, because it's been outlawed by the legislature, except stamped across the bottom of the worksheet, it says Common Core. And it comes from our public school system. Mm. Those Common Core math homework, right? So I have to sit and do her homework with her, and I photocopy it so as to save it to be able to study, so I know what she's doing, right?
Right.
I have to help her with it. And she asked me the other day, she said, what if I got all of my math homework correct? I was like, oh, that's worth 10 minutes of worksheet for the first time ever. She has turned in to me this week two 100% correct math homework worksheets.
Wow. A little bit of motivation.
I have threatened her. I've threatened to take away the computer. I've said, you have to start paying attention to math. You have to try. She's just so defeated by it. She doesn't she just tunes out. She does great in every other subject, but she hates math. And so I have to remedially help her. I'm practically homeschooling her in math, honestly. We might as well take her out of school at 1 o'clock every day and just skip the math class and we do our homework. I mean, honestly, it's hopeless.
Hey, so, I got this, right?
Yes, exactly. I got this. So, I was like, okay, well, yeah, if you pay attention to math well enough to do your homework, get it all right on the first try. Yes, we're 10 minutes of worksheet. She nailed it. I have actually used the power of computer time denial to harness Common Core math.
Computer time denial.
Yes.
I like that. That's
so this is what you need to do, parents. You need to get yourself one of those timers, 60 seconds. They got a great one on Amazon. It's like $14 for three of them or something. $14.95. I don't know. And you can use this to manipulate your children into doing good.
Just the irony of that, that you use the computer to limit your child's computer time.
Yes. It's great. I mean, we are nailing Common Core math. My clothes are folded. My dishwasher is unloaded. My dishes are dry. I've got a set table. And I don't even have to pay anything.
Have you thought about them doing some of your show prep for you?
No. But you know, I mean, at the end of this, I may spend my afternoons eating bonbons on the couch and painting my toenails.
By the pool in the spring, yeah.
Yeah, with my six-year-old pool boy running around getting me drinks, right? Just 5 more minutes on the computer, Ma.
Yep.
So I just wanted to tell parents about this. You could take away the computer time, which costs you nothing, and you can get practical child slave labor if you need that, or whatever it is you want them to do.
Don't tell the Chinese that.
Oh, I know. Well, it's not illegal if they're doing chores around the house, I checked.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I know.
So anyway, I thought I'd pass that on.
That's a very good life hack, as you put it.
Yes.
That's excellent.
Yes, yeah. Works better than paying them actual money.
Well, it's positive reinforcement.
Yes, except with money bags. He still wants cold, hard cash.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to negotiate differently with under different circumstances, just like the president.
Yeah. Well, amen to that, right? By the way, speaking of, Kirstjen Nielsen nailed this about a manufactured crisis. Did you hear this?
Yeah, not bad for a Bush person.
I know. She's one of the few decent ones. I don't know if she fell and hit her head or what.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, just from this is from Fox News. There's a clip of the Democrats saying this is a manufactured crisis because they don't have any effective arguments against the actual real crisis. They're just going to pretend it's not real. Listen to how she nails them on this.
Manufactured crisis.
This is a manufactured crisis.
This is a manufactured crisis bill.
Imagine being one of these victims' families and listening to an elected member of Congress claim that their pain and their suffering is manufactured.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yep.
That would be awful. Seriously. Ugh.
Well, it amazes me how Democrats who always claim to be so concerned about the common person and about people's feelings and about their, their sympathies and their empathy for people's emotions. And here we have a situation where we do have a national policy that has cost the lives and livelihoods and other serious issues for families. And they refuse to address it or even recognize it. You know, they are illegal immigration deniers.
Yeah, that you know what? That's exactly it. Actual real math. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's totally maddening. Going to jump on the line real quick with Wes in Greer. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Tara. Good morning. You know, I do somewhat agree, but I'm just kind of asking myself this question. We all know that immigration wins by a huge majority, and it's done so for 15 years. Okay, we remember the congressional meltdown of the server, the phone banks. You know, every time amnesty's tried, every time the curtain's pulled back just a little bit and people get a glimpse of what their real mission was, we stopped it. We stopped it. Do you really think, I mean, we know a huge majority of Democrats think it's a problem or want something done.
Yeah.
We know huge amounts of Republicans want something done. Do you really think that there are enough illegals, or if they brought in enough, that it's going to offset all the people that would be mad about the problem? So I'm just blown away with it. The Democrats fight for the transgenders, which are what, less than 2% of the population? Okay? So they think that's a winning idea for them. So how do they go against more than half of their own voters and three-quarters of ours and push this? I mean, even the Republicans. I mean, do the Republicans think if they get big business enough of cheap labor that'll be enough that the rest of us won't, you know, finally do something about it? I mean, this is coming to a head, and I'm glad. I'm glad Trump's doing what he's doing. But it fascinates me. I mean, do they think they would get enough of them in here fast enough, naturalize them, give them the vote, you know, to swing it back their way? Maybe they know more than I know. It's just, it's interesting. I
answer your question, Wes. No. They have already accepted that they will not win in primaries if the chamber is against them. And that is true. $600,000 we saw used against Ralph Norman because he said he would join the Freedom Caucus. So they
know
that.
You know,
no, hold on. Let me just answer your question. And I think.
Well, if people would vote, that wouldn't be true. But if when 12% of people vote, you're right.
But they won't. You're right. They won't. Yeah. So, and they know that. So I think the Republican Party, the Republicans in Congress have accepted that amnesty is what's coming, that the party will eventually be destroyed. It'll be a small regional party. It'll never control the presidency or Congress again after amnesty. And I think they've accepted that. And I think that's why before Trump, they had largely stopped pursuing any sort of agenda to further their own cause, because I think they'd given up on their own existence. I mean, if you look at Paul Ryan, it was a year. For a full year after we passed tax reform, Republicans did nothing. They didn't even do the second wave of tax reform. And I think that's because they have given up. Why bother to do conservative things, fix the economy, if we're just going to have a massive amnesty bomb and the Republican Party will never win again? I think they've accepted it. And that's why they stopped fighting, because they just didn't bother.
Well, you mean their egos never want to be the majority party again? I mean,
their egos will be willing to be gone.
Be the minority guy forever.
No, they're going to be gone. Look at Paul Ryan. He just checked out. And the reason he checked out is he's got to cash in. I mean, they don't pay you off till after you leave. I mean, that guy, you're going to see him put on boards of businesses that he does not have the experience to run. You're going to see him making tens of millions of dollars. And that's how they pay him back. And they owe him big because he stopped the Trump agenda, accept the tax cuts, and he managed to make sure nothing got done, and he managed to lose the house.
He was worthless in the long line of all the rest of them. But Tara, how do they get paid off in the future when we're flooded with illegals and the Chamber of Commerce has got what they want?
They don't care.
But for the Republicans coming up, the next line is not going to get this handout.
No, it's all about them. It's all about look at Paul Ryan. Okay, he married an independently wealthy woman. He has no money of his own. As a regular middle class scrub like the rest of us, but he's been around money. He just walked out of Congress. It's going to be tons of millions of bucks. I can't wait to read you what boards he's on that he is not qualified to sit on. It's how they'll pay him off. He's going to be mega uber wealthy in his own right, not depending on his rich wife anymore. That's what he got. That's how they look at it, Wes. They don't care about the future of the party. They're not true believers like you and I. They say, well, about me, and what can I get? And that's how it is. Jumping on the line with Ron in Spartanburg. Hey, Ron.
Tara, you said something a minute ago that piqued my interest because is your daughter still having Common Core math?
Oh, yeah.
I talked to a representative at a meeting Monday in Spartanburg, and one of our female representatives told me that they had done away with that 2 years ago.
Who was that?
Her wife's name's Allison.
Uh-huh. Well, can't imagine who that would be. Okay, go on.
Well, she's a state representative.
Yeah, no, Rita Ellis.
But anyhow, I was taken aback by that because I don't like Common Core, number one. And number two is she lied to me.
Yeah, and in Rita Allison's defense, I don't know if you don't have a child in school right now in our system, if you know that Common Core math is alive and well, and that essentially our school systems just ignored the law that the legislature passed. And I can prove it to you. You want me to prove it to you, Ron, in case you run into Rita again? If you go on my Facebook page, go look at my photos. I photographed the front page of my son's math book, and I put it right there. And it says, it's right there, Houghton Mifflin, Common Core Edition. Huge words on the front. It's called Go Math. You can look it up online. Common Core Edition. And every one of my daughter's math sheets that comes home is stamped Common Core across the bottom. And the teachers tell you it's Common Core, and they apologize for it.
I felt like I was misled by whatever she said, because she said 2 years ago they did away with it.
Oh, they did.
And they did?
Oh, okay, they did. No, they did. Legally, they did. I mean, they barred it. They banned it in the schools. They did a big press conference. And they are now teaching more of it than they ever did before. And I can't figure out how this is possible. But it is, in her defense, it is entirely possible Rita Allison has not seen the math books stamped Common Core that come home every day in my children's backpacks.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I'm glad you clarified that. But it made... it just makes you wonder.
Well, if you want to follow up with her, you can email the math book picture off the front of the off of my Facebook page, because I got it right there. So,
well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Going to jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, good morning. I'm a fourth grade teacher in Spartanburg. The newest edition of South Carolina math standards are not officially Common Core, but they're similar. We haven't adopted new textbooks, so the same ones are in use. Most of the teachers in my district use materials that we find online to supplement. However, most of them are labeled Common Core. Oh, okay. So they ban Common Core in the state. They put standards that are allegedly not Common Core, and they keep teaching right out of the Common Core math books. Yeah, that's a switch. South Carolina style. Look, folks, I know it's Common Core math, and I don't mean to argue with the teachers, but again, I have a child. I do math almost every night with that child during the week. And I know it's Common Core math because I'm constantly, you know, going back and forth with her teacher, and especially last year, who was sending me remedial Common Core math videos so I could understand the Common Core math. The videos online are Common Core math videos. They said right across the top, for parents, not for kids. I mean, so I don't know how much more Common Core you can get. And every teacher that I've had has started the year off at the parent-teacher meeting that they always have, warning about math. You know, hey, it's not the way you remember it. Hate that. Sorry about it. It's not my fault. It's essentially what they say. So this idea that we're not really teaching Common Core math, I mean, I'm sorry. I do it every day. I teach Common Core math every day. I do. It just never ends. I'm worried next year when I go to junior high. See, this is how I think when I go to junior high. This is how involved you have to get with your kids' schooling, I swear. When we go to junior high, can I keep up with it? Maybe it's pushing me to the max right now. Having to relearn everything in math. Am I the only parent that's stressed out? I am stressed out. This week was not. I had a test, two school projects, and two quizzes. I'm about to break out in hives, I swear. I mean, that's part of that is complimentary to the Greenville County school system. I mean, they are turning and churning out the test scores. They're whipping the rest of the state. They're above the national average now at the high school level in SATs. You know, I mean, we're killing it here. And, you know, I can see why in the younger grades. This is a really rigorous school system. It truly is. And so I know it'll pay off at the end, and I don't mean to want to complain. But boy, it was not like this when I was in school. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Texter writes, my three boys are in elementary, middle, and high school, all Common Core. Yep. Texter writes, the book says that, Common Core across the front, the math book, but the state standards don't. They purchased the book the year we were supposed to go Common Core. Not calling it Common Core was a way to appease people. It's still Common Core. That's what the teachers call it. The only way you can understand it is to go on YouTube remedial math videos and Google Common Core and then whatever you're trying to do, long division or whatever. All right, on to Alan Wilson, who has lost his mind. I hate to say that because I like Alan Wilson. He's called me personally. He's taken time to... But good God, how do you explain this? You remember the poor woman who had the terrible auto accident out on the coast? Oh, what is her name? I'm blanking on it. She defeated Mark Sanford in a primary. And then she got beaten by a Democrat, U.S. Congressman Joe Cunningham. So we now have two Democrats in our delegation going to Washington. Alan Wilson, our allegedly Republican South Carolina Attorney General, has partnered with U.S. Congressman Joe Cunningham to battle offshore, not drilling, that'd be one thing, offshore exploration. What do we do? Blindfold ourselves. We don't want to know how rich we are. We want to be poor. One of the lowest workforce participation rates in the entire nation right now. Katie Arrington, thank you. See, even Chris, my backup brain failed and I had to use the text line. We're going to have a discussion about this after the show, Chris. Not kidding. Anyway, Associated Press reports that our allegedly Republican Attorney General Alan Wilson and U.S. Congressman Joe Cunningham, a Democrat, are partnering on this issue. Wilson announced his office was joining a lawsuit filed by 16 South Carolina cities and towns aimed at blocking seismic testing off the coast. We're bringing the suit to protect the state's economy. God, the grinding stupidity. Okay, let's back up for a moment here. Okay, we're not talking about drilling. We're talking about learning about drilling through seismic testing. The Obama federal government, BOEM department, spent $50 million testing the effects of seismic testing to search for oil and natural gas. And do you know what they found? Not only were there no negative effects whatsoever. Again, this is Obama, not Trump. There may be some positive ones. The wildlife seems to like it. The dolphins follow the ships that do it. And their heads aren't exploding and bleeding or anything like that. Got a long streak. You want to see some dolphins? Get on the ship doing the seismic testing. The dolphins follow it. That's straight out of the federal government's report. There is no damage or risk to nature known to man. But why is it that Alan Wilson, all these people are so frantic to stop the seismic testing? Because good God, if you knew what was off the coast, if you knew the vast wealth off the coast and what it could do for the state, you go a little crazy. And I can't have you knowing that. Fitz News has a great piece on this. Offshore insanity. And it is. They've got this idea that it will destroy the tourism industry. That has not happened off the shores of Florida. It has not happened off the shores of Texas. Texas Gulf Coast, again, one of the top 10 vacation destinations in the country. But you know what the shame of this is? Two things. Natural gas doesn't spill like oil. Can we not go get the natural gas? I mean, there is supposed to be a ton of it off the shore. Can't even talk about that. I mean, it's not like an oil spill. Natural gas leak, big deal. Fix it. No, can't even go out there to look for the natural gas. Why? I don't know. I mean, if you talk to Jeff Duncan, our congressmember, he'll tell you, he sits on the committee that governs this, the platforms, you can't even see them anymore from the shore on the fifth floor of a hotel building. And they don't allow you to build them much higher than that off the coast. You can't even see it. Why? Why? Why can't we look? And folks, this is the shame of it. Oh, we might ruin our economy. We might save our economy. And folks, do you realize one of the most amazing things about Texas, and I've told you this before, I mean, it's just truly life-altering for the people who live in Texas. Do you remember the Great Recession? Yeah, it sucked, didn't it? It was pretty miserable. Do you realize that Texas was the only state that did not go through the Great Recession economically? They didn't go through it. Throughout the every single quarter of what was the Great Recession for the rest of us, they had growth over 3%. And 75% of the quarters, they had growth over 4%. Economic growth. They simply opted out of the Great Recession. Didn't happen. Why? Oil and natural gas. Can you imagine living in a state so prosperous with a prosperous shoreline? I mean, Gulf is really popular. Go Google vacation destinations, Gulf of Texas. It's a beautiful beach down there. I used to live in Texas. I did growing up for a while. Beautiful beach down there. Has coexisted with the oil just fine for a long time. It will continue to do so. Listen, we have modern ways to have a tourism industry and a natural gas industry, certainly, and definitely an oil industry. Why can't we study it? Look, if the study came back and we looked at it and we found out, well, this is going to wreck the tourism industry. So it didn't happen in any other state. I mean, shoot, look at California. It's the most beautiful coastline on earth. Did it wreck California? No. If it was going to somehow wreck the coast here like it has done nowhere else, then fine, we can debate that. But why don't we go find out where it is? How far offshore is it? How much of it is there? And what would, you know, there be any kind of economic problems with it caused? And then have a debate. Nope, can't. Nope, hey, nope. We don't want anybody to know what's off there because we would be so rich we would never have to go through a recession again. And we can't have that. Well, why? Alan Wilson. I mean, come on. I can understand if there was a report showing this to be some terrible effect on tourism, that he might sue the federal government to stop the drilling. But, I mean, we're talking about exploration. Why are they so afraid of exploration? You know that oil companies and natural gas companies would have to propose in their lease agreements how they do it. There would be economic studies. There would be environmental studies. I mean, all of that. And they're fighting it. They're fighting it. So Alan Wilson now officially standing in the schoolhouse door, in the economic growth door, blocking it. He wants to live through the next couple of recessions. So they probably won't affect him too much. Shame on you, Alan Wilson. I'm so disappointed.
America's heart broke the day after Christmas when a young police officer in California was savagely murdered in cold blood by an illegal alien who just came across the border. The life of an American hero was stolen by someone who had no right to be in our country. Day after day, precious lives are cut short by those who have violated our borders. In California, an Air Force veteran was raped, murdered, and beaten to death with a hammer by an illegal alien with a long criminal history. In Georgia, an illegal alien was recently charged with murder for killing, beheading, and dismembering his neighbor. In Maryland, MS-13 gang members who arrived in the United States as unaccompanied minors were arrested and charged last year after viciously stabbing and beating a 16-year-old girl.
Okay, apparently this was the funniest section, the funniest segment of the Trump speech. It was hilarious, a real knee slapper. You're thinking, I didn't find that very funny. Yeah, well, you don't have a sick, twisted liberal mind like Seth Meyers does. The NBC late-night talk show host apparently thinks it's funny when people die at the hands of illegal immigrants. I was waiting for one of them to do this. He actually tweeted this, and I broke the internet worse than Kim Kardashian's rear end. To look at it trending this morning. Is this Oval Office SVU? What is that? That's a reference to CSI, Special Victims Unit. Is this Oval Office SVU? Is this funny? I must have missed where that was funny. Because it's not funny. I mean, literally mocking victims killed by illegal aliens. And there's no outrage. I mean, there's outrage from people like us on Twitter. But no, that's not condemned at all. It's funny when people die. This is the real left, folks. This is who they are. Absolute, complete, and utter contempt for human life. There's simply no other way to describe it. By the way, Cher is now demanding that Nancy Pelosi end the partial government shutdown. Don't die on this hill. And Cher is amazing. Cher can figure this out. This shutdown is really bad for Democrats. When 93% of the American people and 88% of Democrats in a recent YouGov poll say immigration is a serious issue, man, you've already lost your own base, never mind ours. Anyway, Cher taking to Twitter to beg Pelosi to stop this. This is just a mess. It just is. And she's saying, I can see it. You can't win. You're not going to win this one. So you might as well quit. Here's what she writes. Nancy, you are a hero. Let Trump have his blanking money. People will starve, lose their homes, be unable to see doctors. And she says it's not a battle that he can win. He'll be a hero, she said. He'll eat your lunch and steal your lunch. And you'll be blanked 6 ways to Sunday. Don't die on this hill. He stops at nothing. Awesome. When was the last time we had a Republican leader that the Democrats actually thought would win?